I'm also going to have to go a little fast. I got a lot of data to share on this topic. As you know, you may know, I've been doing a lot of potassium work, but some things have come up, and we've also been doing some nitrogen work. Some of the main nitrogen sources we have available to us in Georgia, and this is not a complete list, but I just showed this to show you how different they can be. Of course, we have anhydrous, which is a gas. We don't use a lot of anhydrous, you're going to see in the next slide, in Georgia for a number of reasons. We do use a lot of liquid solutions, mainly UAN, but we have others available. And then as far as solids, as far as side dressing cotton, we've gotten shifted away from ammonium nitrate and gone more towards urea, and that was one of the main reasons for starting to look at different nitrogen sources. And then ammonium sulfate, we don't normally use straight as a side dress, but we do usually blend it with urea, so you'll see that treatment in these studies. This is data from the Georgia Department of Ag lab out of Atlanta from 2010. I need to update this, but I think it's a good snapshot of what we're doing. And this is all crops, just not cotton. But this is in thousands of tons. And you can see we're using, again, very little anhydrous. We do have a few big growers using it. They usually use it pre-plant, by the way. Ammonium sulfate, fairly low. And ammonium nitrate and urea, if you went back to 2005 and then here to 2010, they kind of flip-flopped from about the numbers you see there. And then again, we're using a lot of liquids on side dressing, both corn and cotton in Georgia. Another reason I got into looking at the nitrogen sources is, again, our main liquid is UAN, or you saw on a previous slide, URAN. The composition of that is about 50% urea and then 25% each of ammonium and nitrate. We typically add ammonium thiosulfate to make what we call 28005 or 28%. But we have another one available in Georgia, and I don't think it's widely available across the cotton belt. It's a byproduct out of Attapulgus, Georgia, where they are processing Attapulgate clay, and it's 19%. And you can see it's a very different composition. It's about 60% nitrate, 40% ammonium, and no urea. So obviously things like volatilization issues go away and everything. And we use this quite extensively on a number of crops in Georgia. And again, we add sulfur to it to make 18003. We can even go further than that. You're going to see in the slides, we thought maybe a good idea was to make this mixture where we kind of spread our risk and make almost equal amounts of urea and ammonium nitrate. If you look closely at the data, and I'm going to have to go through it pretty quick, believe it or not, you're going to find out this one doesn't seem to perform as well as things like 28 and 18. It has a tendency to end up on the end. I'm not sure why that is, but that's why you do the research and look at the data. And again, you know, what is the best form? You know, urea's got volatilization issues, nitrate's got leaching issues, ammonium, is that the best form? I don't know. That's one of the reasons we wanted to look and do these comparisons. And you can't forget price. A year like this year, there's always people looking for, you know, can I switch to a cheaper source of N? Sometimes cheaper isn't always better. And there's maybe an issue with the source you switched to that you didn't have before. So you got to be careful when you do that. But if you look at nitrogen, and again, I need to update this slide, but prior to 2005, we were paying like 28 cents per pound of N. It peaked in 2008, and then it's come down. We're somewhere probably between 60 and 70 cents per pound of N. But again, how do you get that number? You kind of average. We usually just look at urea and 28. But something like 19, I can tell you, is going to be cheaper per pound of N. So the main objective here was to compare different side dress nitrogen, and we're going to mainly focus on yield. I'm going to show you some other things. Again, focus on yield, but you can look at solids versus liquids. You can look at the different forms. Again, some of these straight urea or some got mixtures in them. I'm going to show you a little tissue and petiole data. There's a lot of things we can look at in this data set that we can't look at in 15 minutes. And then I had one site that was really responsive to sulfur. There's a reason why we like to put sulfur in our side dress on cotton. Not all the time, but we can have some fairly dramatic responses, and I'll show you one of those. As far as material and methods, real quick, this is data from 2013 and 14. four locations, RDC Pivot and Tifton's irrigated. It's a good Tifton soil. Sunbelt Expo is also irrigated. It's not quite as stiff a soil as good as the RDC Pivot location. Stripling is a deep sand. It's irrigated, so that's one we'll watch out for, things that have nitrate in them. And then ABAC is in Tifton is one of the dryland fields, and you'll see some differences between the irrigated and dryland. Pre-plant NNS vary from none to some depending on the locations. You see the cotton varieties there. All my small plot research is 4 rows wide by 30 or 40 feet long. The side dress treatments were hand applied, surface applied, not incorporated. That is not uncommon for our growers to do as far as not hand applied, but they surface apply and don't incorporate them. We didn't go with a real high rate because we didn't want to wipe out differences. So I'm kind of on the low end there, side dress rates, 50 to 60 pound. And, in 2014, we took some tissue and petiole and we machine harvested. This is a list of the ones we looked at. Not every location every year has it. In fact, in 2014, I added some treatments. But as far as solids, we got ammonium nitrate, urea, ESN, which is a polymer coated. You're going to hear another talk, I think the next talk on ESN. CAN is calcium ammonium nitrate. This was a way to try to get around the ammonium nitrate regulation issues. It's got some handling issues, in my opinion, but we put it in the trial. Urea and ammonium sulfate blend, urea and MBPT, which is a urease inhibitor. Only in 2014 with that one. And then even a humic-coated urea I tried 1 year. Those were solids. As far as liquids, you got 18, 003, and 19, so with and without sulfur, 28 and 32, and then that 24 I showed you. And some sites I have an untreated check, no side dress, and some I don't. So, I wasn't sure exactly the best way to show this data and compare, because there's so many comparisons we can make. So we're just going to lay it out there, and I can tell you what a grower's probably going to do is look at the one he's using and maybe want to look at one he might think about going to and that kind of thing, and that's fine. That's what that we'll probably do in county meetings. But this is from the RDC Pivot in 2013. And you can see, we got some separation there. CAN, which is a solid, 18, ammonium nitrate. So in the top four, you have two solids and two liquids. So it's not clear that a solid or a liquid was better. And really, just getting towards the end, the ESN and the urea. And I have some concerns with urea. I'm not telling people don't use urea, but I have a tendency, you're going to notice in this data set, that it kind of jumps around a lot, and to me it seems inconsistent. So in this particular case, for example, and urea was on the bottom of the list there, yield-wise. These are lint, pounds of lint per acre. I don't know why it says bushels per acre. 2014, we added a lot more treatments. And again, I wanted to show it this way too, to show that you can look at, CAN again being at the top, but really all these, all the way over to 32 did pretty well in 2014. Now the other thing I need to point out is 2013, in Georgia was a very wet year, and 2014 was a more typical year with a dry period in August. So, this is probably a more typical yield, year. And you see, everything again over to 32, and that kind of surprised me. I'm not sure why the 32 dropped out. I also made 1,300 pounds of lint per acre without any nitrogen, and a lot of people wonder how I did that, but that happens. So just a good cotton grower, I guess. I don't know. But that's 2014. I'm going to go through the tissue and petiole pretty quick with these, and I wanted to keep them with their locations. I don't have petiole data for this year, 2014 at the pivot, because by the time we sampled around fourth or fifth week of bloom, it actually crashed. But if you look at the tissue, and the way I got to do this is I got to back up to the yield and then look at the tissue again. But for example, you look at the yield, CAN and 19 were on the top, 24 and 32 are at the bottom. CAN and 19 are fairly towards the top, and the others are toward the bottom. So I think we don't recommend tissue sampling as a way to look at nitrogen once we get into the bloom period. But maybe in this case, it's not a bad indicator, and that's something I think we need to look at. We have a tendency to look at petiole. Again, in this case, petiole was crashed and didn't help any. So, at this point, and the untreated is at the bottom, which is what you would expect. So maybe that, in this case, it worked out fairly well. All right, the next location is the Expo. Some of you may be familiar with that site in Moultrie. And here, ammonium nitrate really kind of stood out. And then again at the bottom, you're trending towards more things like ESN and urea at this location in 2013. But again, there's a number of them in their middle there that all did pretty well. And you see the stats up there. But again, 2013, here's a wet year. And look where urea and ESN are on this slide. And then just go to 2014 at the same location. Now where are they? They bumped up. So again, it really, to me, weather obviously plays a big role sometimes in how some of these work, and that's what we need to work towards, is, are certain nitrogen sources better in certain years and climates than others. So you see there, and again, 32, that concerns me some. Maybe it's a sulfur issue. I do have we can look at the nitrogen-sulfur ratio in all the tissue. I did not do that yet, but maybe there was a bit of sulfur problems here. And especially when you see 19 and 32 towards the bottom. But again, 28 and 24 are the next two, and they both have sulfur. There's the tissue. And again, if you flip back between this slide and this slide, you're going to see that the tissue fairly represents and follows that trend. All right, let's go to the dry land field. And this is where... but again, 2013 was a wet year. So the dry land was almost like irrigated in 2013. But you see the data there. Again, Canada's not at the top this time. It's towards the bottom. So you see a lot of jumping around. There's not, in my opinion, there's not a real clear cut one every year. In this case, ESN, a wet year did not seem to do that well. But then you go to 2014 at the same location. Now look where ESN is. That's an absolute top. So you can see how things are kind of jumping around. I haven't been pointing out, but another thing you might want to look at, as always, is the U plus the U plus I. That's the urease inhibitor. You can see in most cases that the inhibitor hadn't really helped us a lot. Makes sense to me in our irrigated locations because we usually irrigate our nitrogen in. I would really expect it. If it was going to help, would be in this year, 2014, fairly dry year on a dry land site, and you can see the inhibitor really didn't help us much in that case. Tissue, not as dramatic differences there, and we can look at the trends if you want. But this is really interesting. The petiole at that site was really some dramatic differences. But if you look at it, if you look at the yields there, ESN at the top and something like CAN at the bottom, it's almost flip-flop. The lower the petiole, the higher the yield data was. So to me, that means that nitrate was stored in that petiole and wasn't used, wasn't going to the bowls. So the petiole data at this point actually looks a little backwards, but it would kind of make sense when you think of it that way. So that was another interesting thing to look at, and we can look at that some more. All right, the last one I want to show you real quick, stripling. We only had that in 2014. And you can see the data, a clear separation between these four, 28, 24, 18, and 34, and then you go to the rest. Why is that? Because those four at the top have sulfur in them, and the others do not. Had obvious sulfur deficiency. I didn't go ahead and correct it. I wanted to see how bad it was. And you can see we still made about two bales where we had bad sulfur deficiency. But if we did not have, if we had sulfur in the nitrogen, we made 3-bale cotton. So to me, it was worth about a bale to have sulfur in there. It's pretty dramatic. So, and I really don't know what the tissue and the petiole means in that case because we had such severe sulfur deficiency. So I'm going to conclude that to me, there was really no clear winner or loser. We kind of jumped around. I think solids and liquids, I get that question all the time. Do you like liquids or solids? I think they can both do well. Depends on the material, et cetera. I think this calcium ammonium nitrate and ammonium nitrate are good solids. 18 and 28 are good liquids. I still say urea looks inconsistent to me. And in our case, urease inhibitor did not significantly help urea if you do that comparison every time. ESN actually did outperform just straight urea, so that's a good sign. That's what you want to see. 18 beat 28% 6 out of 7 times. Where it lost was on the deep sand, which kind of makes sense to me because it's heavy in nitrate. Tissue sampling, that fourth bloom, maybe that is something we need to look at. I think there's going to be a talk later on. Maybe, I don't know exactly when they sampled. Petiole sampling, it seemed like the lower later on, the better you were, the more cotton you had. And where you had sulfur deficiency, it looked like in at least that one location, having sulfur in your nitrogen was worth about 500 pounds of lint, which is very significant. So with that, I'll finish and see if you have any questions.